Welcome, welcome to
Thanks for
all of
having
you.
us
Thank you so
today.
much for being here. I didn't even get to come and say hi to anyone, but hi to all my people who are here. It's good to have you here. Hi. No, you're okay. No worries. Welcome. We appreciate everyone who's here. This is the City of South Jordan City Council study meeting. Today is Tuesday, August 5th, 2025. My name is Dawn Ramsey, and I have the privilege of serving as mayor of the City of South Jordan with our outstanding city council seated here. And Mr. Shelton will be here in just a moment. Thank you to our staff, all of those who are here that help keep things running smoothly in the city. Thank you. We've got planning commissioners here. We've got guest presenters here. And we welcome any members of the public who might be here or watch this later. Thank you for being here with us. We're going to open this meeting tonight with an invocation by Councilmember Patrick Harris.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we have the opportunity to gather together. We're thankful for our mayor and city council and city staff. We're thankful for all the members of our city who are listening along with our guests today. Please bless us that we'll be able to understand thy will and make the best decisions possible on behalf of the city. And we say this humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right. I'm going to ask, before we do our coordination, for a motion to amend this agenda to add a closed session to the end of this meeting to discuss the character and competency of an individual. That was supposed to be on this agenda and was accidentally left off, but I think it's going to be important that we do so because that's the process that we follow. So can I get a motion to amend the agenda to add a executive closed session for the discussion of the character and competency of an individual?
Motion as stated.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. All right, that is approved. Okay, coordination. Anybody have anything you'd like to bring up?
Not necessarily coordination, but I've gotten a couple of, I talked to Mr. Shelton about it last night. I've gotten a couple of emails from residents, and I wanted to bring it up to staff and to the council. A couple of people in my district that live adjacent to the Bees Baseball Stadium, America First Square, have emailed me and taken the time to express their frustration with parking leading into their neighborhoods. This isn't something we're all surprised about. We hoped it wouldn't happen. Their comments are, Larry H. Miller's charging $10, $15, $20 to park in their janky parking lot, and nobody wants to pay that, so they'll walk two blocks instead of pay. And they say, well, at the Megaplex, you didn't have to pay to go to the movies. Why are we paying to go to events here? And if they would stop charging people to park, they wouldn't be in my neighborhood. And I asked for addresses. There, it's pretty much Lake Run and then some of the proximal neighborhoods there. The gentleman, I asked him, I said, what would you suggest? He said, well, in Harriman, when there's events near their areas, they have like a no parking zone, or they have passes that you can put on your car. And so the police come and give tickets to the ones that aren't residents. So anyway, I wanted to bring it up. It's apparently enough that people, I've gotten two emails in the last week or two.
Yeah, we're very alert to that. We've had discussions with LHM about that. Those discussions started earlier this year. We've been watching to see how the season goes, and we will come back with some recommendations.
Okay.
We've identified some of the ways that we could do that, either by parking by permit only. It could be restricted during certain hours or events.
Mm-hmm.
They all have pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
If we choose to go an enforcement route, we have to talk about some resources that will be needed to do that. But yeah, I appreciate that, sharing that. We're
so you're thinking about it and you're going to come back with some
Yeah, this has been
solutions.
An issue since back in March.
Good. Okay.
We've had many conversations with the team at LHM about it.
We're
monitoring it. We're seeing kind of how this first season goes, where the problem spots are. We have had police out doing some education.
He said Saturday, Sunday, and Monday are the worst.
So
that's interesting because they don't.
They don't play on Mondays usually.
Mondays the
but
concerts.
It could be the other events that are going on there that
I
are
can double check.
Well, and part of the problem is though how LHM has handled the parking of it. Sometimes being a paid parking lot, other times it's not. Depends on what you're going for. That I think a lot of people are just choosing to park on the street because they don't understand when they're going to get charged for parking.
The original plans didn't intend for paid parking. That was a decision that LHM folks made earlier this spring. So their lots were not even designed to do that. So they don't have a good place to queue cars to.
Okay.
So there's some things that they have to work out still.
So you're probably monitoring Lake Run and then those properties.
And all those neighborhoods there.
Yep.
As they continue to build the downtown area, this problem will
perpetuate.
So we're watching it.
Okay.
We've been doing some drone photoing and watching it. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, so I'll just get back with them and say we're looking at it, we're watching it, and we're gonna come up with some solutions.
And whenever we've done things like permitted parking or restricted parking, that usually then just pushes it somewhere else. And so we're also trying to anticipate if we do that in one area, how will that change and where will the problem then move? Because we'll just be moving it. So we're trying to look so that we can figure it all out.
If you recall, do you remember the no parking zone we put over by my house? Because all the soccer moms and the football
moms. In fact,
your
neighborhood is one of the first ones where we ever did the permitted parking.
And it's working fabulously.
Remember I went out and met with all your neighbors?
I know.
We did the parking passes, explained the program.
And you weren't keen on the idea when we first talked about it. Because you said, you know, this will create other... I'm just reporting back that it's been fantastic.
Good.
It's taught the soccer, football people, you can't park in front of our driveways. Mm-hmm. And so we can come and go from our houses and they can only park on the other side. So we did do a no parking zone along that.
We did a similar program over next to Bingham
High
School.
Around
Bingham High School. I think those are the only two areas.
No, there's a
third
one. It just pushed the problem to a whole new thing. And then we did another one over...
it's in those ones, kind of by Rushden.
Rushden is where the other one. And it just spread the problem into different neighborhoods.
Mm.
So
everyone wants a sign.
Yeah.
I've handed out quite a few in just 2 years.
And that's why we're kind of seeing how this first season goes, and we know there's a lot more development to come because there's also more parking to come. There's plans for a parking structure and some other things that will help that. But again, as the Performing Arts Center comes on, so we're going to have some growing pains, but we are very cognizant of it. We are watching it. We're trying to figure out the best solutions.
So then as part of your solution, as the staff is talking, it seems like we need to get the message out. So if we come up with a solution, or if we say, hey, here is what the solution will be, we've got to get really good messaging out to the people to know that we are responding, whether that's a little town meeting in the area or social media, whatever. I really would like to say, I mean, I'll tell these people we're working on it, but there's going to be more disgruntled residents.
And we'll work with the communications team, and as we get some definitive stuff that we can put out, we'll share that. And we'll have those conversations.
Okay.
I've had several phone calls with people living in the stadium. So that's Don and Jason.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
We're all hearing it. You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone have anything else to coordinate? No? Okay.
We just have the Utah Leagues of Cities and Towns. It's not too far down the road.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming up.
Coming up in September.
Yep.
Yeah. October.
I thought it was this month. I thought it was the 28th.
I'm pretty sure it's September.
The league meetings?
The league meetings.
The annual conferences in
September. Oh, the conference.
Yeah,
I was
at the
end. No, there's LPC. Yeah, we're going to have. So there's league meetings in the conference.
Okay,
conference
sorry.
Later. Yeah. No,
I don't
I'm glad
have
you're
LPC on my calendar for
the
28th.
October is the league.
I can look it up.
Like the second and the third or something like that.
And they were thinking of moving some stuff around.
Because that's a holiday. It might be the 9th in September.
Yeah, they might have moved it.
This is the summer. It is the first and second. First and second. We have a board meeting on the 30th, and the conference is the first and second of October.
Of October,
yeah.
This is always end of September, first October, depending on how.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought that up. And also, and FYI, the National League of Cities was supposed to host the national conference, cities conference in Salt Lake in 2021, when yours truly would have been very involved with that.
Mm-hmm.
But because of still coming out of COVID and having to have contracts signed a year in advance and whatever, it's the only year they canceled, the only time they canceled. So they pushed it back, and now it's this November here. It's being hosted in Salt Lake City, and Utah's hosting the National League of Cities City Conference. So instead of going somewhere, it's going to be here. They're going to be offering a discounted price. I think, to members of the Utah League. Anyway, I would put that on your radar. It's been a good conference. It's good. They have some good things, and since it's going to be here in Salt Lake, it might be of interest.
Who's the president? Where is she from, or he, this year?
The president for Utah?
For the NLCT.
The National League of Cities president right now is from California, Cordova, California, the mayor of Cordova, California. Yeah. Yeah, the past president was from Tacoma. But I was president of the Utah League the year we were going to be hosting it here. And then the NLC had to cancel it because contracts had to be that far out. So anyway, they did get us back on the rotation, and it's this November here. So if you've ever had any interest in attending a National League, we are a member of the National League of Cities, so we get a discounted price on our membership, on our, like, on attending the conference, but I think they're also going to offer some kind of a discounted. Cam's working on a deal for the Utah team, but, you know, anybody from Utah that wants to go, but they're also encouraging it. So if anybody's interested, NLC will be here the 20th, 21st, and 22nd of November. So
just keep that on your radar. It's a good experience. Yeah.
It is good.
Especially since it's
and we don't have to travel to it.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You might be able to pop in and out and just pick your session. Some of the sessions, I know national ones, some of them are on topics that don't apply to South Georgia and not something
some
that would, but there's some really good ones. So,
yeah. So
well, as soon as I see the agenda, Mayor, let's talk and we'll get it out and pick and choose what you want
to
do.
Just be aware that that's coming too and coming to us. So, if you're interested. Okay.
And there's good networking opportunities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's just give a quick rundown review of our regular meeting agenda. I'll run down what we have here, and then I'm going to turn to Dustin for a couple of updates. But we've got Resolution R-2025-34. It's the water revenue bonds. It's approving going out to bond for $45 million for water revenue bonds that the water fund will be the collateral for that and the repayment for that. That's the plan. That's the schedule. It's always been solvent to be able to do that. If for some reason the water fund tanked, then I'm like,
pun intended.
Yeah, then that would have to be covered by public, by our tax revenues. But that has not ever happened, right?
No, we've been very fiscally responsible with how we manage the water enterprise funds, and we've been preparing for this opportunity. We're on very good ground to move forward with that. I don't think that we would run that risk. And if we did, I believe that amongst you there would be the appetite and the willingness to make good on whatever debt we entered into, if that meant having to do a property tax increase or some other increase to pay that loan back.
But to be clear, that is not the plan, and that's not what this is.
We've established it. We have a good track record of when we've had bonds, of paying them off, oftentimes early. So we're in a good place. This resolution basically puts in motion and authorizes the mayor, the chief financial officer, and myself to start this process, to do all the things necessary to make the decisions. It sets the limits not to exceed the $45 million, not to exceed a 6% interest rate. There's some other things. It basically sets the parameters and then authorizes the mayor, the city manager, and the chief financial officer to move forward in all those discussions to make this happen so that we can move forward in making South Jordan one of the great places to call home.
And make sure we have enough water to do so.
Yeah.
So there's that. Yeah. Okay. Of course, Sunil will present on that, and we'll have the chance to ask him any questions, but that's what that is, and also what it isn't. I wanted to be specific about what it is and what it isn't.
And it looks a little different because there's a very specific format that's required by the agencies that review and set our credit rating and those kinds of things. They want it in a very specific format, so it doesn't look like one of our normal resolutions because we have to fit the format that they want.
So we'll probably only read that once because it's like a book. It's really long.
It's the majority of the heavy.
It's long.
Yeah, it was very interesting reading.
Yeah.
And so,
what the heck? And they're like, it has to be that way. And I'm like, this is a lot. Yeah.
That document has been prepared by a very good team of experts. It has been reviewed by multiple attorneys.
Non-experts like me.
We've spent a lot of time putting that
document. Yeah, we have good people. Randy Larson, his group, Brad, they do a great job. Chanel on our finance side, that we've done these before.
Well, it seemed like you covered every legal base.
They do. They do.
Even the resolution.
They cover
gender
everything.
And
yes,
all kinds of things that I had no idea would be in such a document. Yeah.
Those that issue bonds.
Yes.
Bond people are.
It's a special
meticulous.
Process, yeah.
It is.
So we also have resolution R2025-43, and that is to authorize the mayor to sign an interlocal cooperation agreement for an overlay project that is partly South Jordan and partly Sandy City right on our border. And South Jordan will do the work and Sandy will pay us back over their half.
This is a really great thing. If we didn't do this, we would be basically redoing half the road, the other half wouldn't. It would look funny. People would question why the city doesn't know what they're doing. This allows us to do the entire road, but it allows Sandy to pay their portion of the cost that's actually their road. It's a benefit to them because they don't have to do a separate project. We can do it all at once, the whole economy of scale. This agreement just basically says they agree to pay their portion, which is $28,000 and change. But it makes it so it looks very good. The work will last longer because we do the entire road. So it's a good thing for both cities.
Good.
Yep, and then we have three public hearing items. Our South Jordan City fee schedule. Brad Clavino will talk about that. There were a few things that, when it was presented to us before, weren't ready to be brought in a.
You remember a few meetings back, we talked about the fee schedule, but we had a couple of fees that we were still making sure were calculated correctly that needed to be added. The team in engineering has finalized all of those things. They worked very closely with Fred and Philpott. To make sure that we have the correct fees, that's now all been updated. And so what's before you tonight is the resolution that adopts that fee schedule, allows for the public hearing, so that we can make sure we're charging the correct fees.
So we have that. We have a very interesting zoning ordinance. I have never seen a downgrade in zoning ordinance
totally
requests like this. I asked Melanie, I was like, is this right? Are we 100% sure this is right? It is right, and now I have a better understanding of why, and back a number of years ago, I guess this gentleman had his business on the back of his property and needed to change it to professional office, and now he's moved that somewhere else and wants to change it back to agricultural.
I remember the one they were in here before.
Yeah, some of you, I think, were on the council when that came before you to change that.
So, fascinating, right? Yeah, to zone from professional office to A1. I said the same thing. Is that typed backwards? Is that can't be right.
It's like a stuff to us.
And then we will, the last one is fixing the compensation for the South Jordan City Recorder, which is part of the regular fee schedule that we did a time or two ago. There was something that was omitted on that with the recorder, so we'll just make that official.
Yeah, what happened on that is we failed to include the 1% raise that all the other employees got when we put the math together to adopt that ordinance previously.
I thought it was just Anna coming to you and saying, I want a raise.
No, that
was pretty bold. Yeah, I was like, she probably was like knocking on the door saying, I'm out of here.
She might if we continue this conversation.
We actually forgot to do some math on our part when we drafted that. So this is just circling back to make sure that we're compliant with the code that requires the ordinance so that we can give her the same increase that all the other employees and yourselves.
This, it's actually a pretty short agenda, which is a good thing because we also have, hopefully, the opportunity to get outside. Would you like to talk about that?
I intentionally tried to keep your agenda light tonight. We are doing our annual night out against crime tonight. Okay. It's happening over at the Public Safety Building there in front, and there's a lot of activities planned. There's a lot of demonstrations. Most of our officers will all be there. I really wanted you guys to have an opportunity to participate this year. So that's kicking off here in about an hour or so. If we can get through our agenda fairly quickly tonight, as soon as we adjourn, I would encourage you to get right over there so that you can see some of those demos, talk with some of the officers, talk with the residents that are there, and just be part of that. I think last year we got you there for the last 10 or 15 minutes.
I think we learned a lot about the canines.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw the demonstration.
That's about the only thing you saw was
the
last canine presentation.
They've got a lot of our equipments out there.
Chief Carr was a drown rat by the
time
we got over there.
She was blue like when we got there.
There is a dunk tank, and if we get there early enough, you can have your chance to dunk the chief.
They're going to give them a chance.
They don't try to make us do it.
Reports to kind of move it along faster.
You know what? That's actually what I was wondering. I think that would be great if we did, because I think if we get a chance, it always is during our council meeting, our first meeting in August. It always is. That's when National Night Out Against Crime is. It always lands on this night. So I was thinking that if we punt the council reports tonight so we can just move the meeting along quickly and try to get through it and get out there so we can all stop by. I would encourage everybody to go stop by.
We can punt staff reports as well. Director Clavino does have a quick update on 98 South. And
could he do it in this meeting?
And if we have time at the end of the work session, I would recommend that we do that
great.
In here.
Great.
And then that speeds us up even
more. Great. That sounds good. Thank you.
Mayor, if I might, one thing I would like to mention.
Yes, there's one more update, please. And you'll appreciate hearing this too. And he's going to send a letter to you guys too, an email.
So at our last planning commission meeting, we had some failures with the microphone and speakers. As our IT team has looked into that, as you know, all of that equipment was done when we did the remodel, which was back pre-COVID. So it's been six or so or more years. Some of that equipment has come to end of life. So some of the switches, there are, from what I understand, four of them. I won't bore you with all the details, but some of those have wore out and have gone bad. We are in the process of updating the hardware that runs the system. The IT team is very confident tonight that the microphones and the speakers should work so we can record the meeting. People should be able to hear. But while we're waiting for some of that equipment to get here that needs to be replaced, we may lose a monitor. So you may see one of the big monitors, the monitor in front of you or something. That may go out intermittently. We don't know for sure. Just a heads up, there could be a few technical glitches. We're pretty confident that the audio will be just fine. But I wanted to give you a heads up just in case. The team's ready to step in with some contingency plans if we do have an issue. But the good news is all the new equipment is supposed to be here at the end of this week.
Friday,
and it will get installed. And so by the next planning commission meeting, everything should be good, and definitely by the next council meeting, we'll be back to normal in there. So it's just end of life for some of that equipment. It wears out, and we're getting it all replaced.
So. Yeah. So thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
That's all I had. Thanks.
Okay. Okay. We have our first presentation item. It's a planning commission board appointment. We're looking forward to this. As you'll recall, there is an opening in District 5 for the Planning Commission. We're going to turn to our Director of Planning and Economic Development, Brian Priest, to present this. And then we'll also let Mr. McGuire speak and Mr. Farnsworth. So, Brian, take it away.
Real quick, it's Brian Farnsworth. Let he and Commissioner McGuire introduce him, but we're excited as we've had the... As Commissioner Bevins has resigned and moved away, we're excited to fill that position. So, Commissioner or Councilman.
Member.
It's okay.
Too many C's.
So, I was excited when Brian, Mr. Farnsworth, turned in an application to be on the Planning Commission. I've known him for years and sat down and met with him and discussed the function of the Planning Commission, and he knew what he was getting himself into, and just let you take it away, Mayor.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for your willingness to serve. Thank you for your willingness to put your name in. We are grateful for anyone and everyone who is actually willing to step up and serve. It's a very important job. It's a super thankless job. So I'm thanking you up front, right? And Sam's going to be like, yeah. So, but it really is important and it matters and we appreciate it. So I wonder if you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and why you want to serve on the Planning Commission.
Yeah. So my wife and I, my wife's Lauren. We have 1 5-year-old son. His name is Colton. We moved to South Jordan about 14 years ago, shortly after we got married. have lived in the Daybreak community for the entire time we've been there. The first 8 years we were in Eastlake, and then we moved over to the island where we've been the last little while. Professionally, I am a bank regulator. I work for the state of Utah. I have a portfolio of 15 banks. They're called industrial banks. It's a special type of bank that Utah has, Mayor. I think your husband might work for one of them.
You might actually know someone I know. He works a lot with regulators.
Mayor Palmer's wife as well. I interact with quite a bit in Harriman.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm used to being very unpopular because we come and we do an exams on these banks and we give them good news and bad news. And so having to deliver good news and bad news is I'm used to it at this point. I can't say, about 10 years ago, there were some things going on at the city council that were of interest to me. And so at that point, I just kind of got in a habit of listening to the city council meetings and the planning commission meetings. And so I've been doing that for probably 10 years now. When you listen online, you have the option to listen at 2x the speed, so it's a little bit different in person. It's a habit that drives my wife crazy, but I've just really enjoyed what's...
It's the only way to do it.
I've just really enjoyed knowing what's going on in the city and knowing what's coming in advance and being able to participate in some of the conversations neighbors have and say, oh, I've heard the city council talk about this, or I've heard the planning commission, and here's what's happening. I'm just interested in serving and giving back to the community, and helping shape the direction of how our community grows. I know that's one of the top concerns of members of the community, and each of the surveys that we do is just growth and planning for growth. And you guys kind of set the tone and direction in this planning commissioners. We make sure that proposals move us in the direction that you have all set.
Great. Thank you. Anybody have any questions for Mr. Farnsworth?
He sounds overqualified.
I don't know about that.
Please go ahead.
I love that you're already engaged. That makes me so happy that you're already in front of like residents and your neighbors and sharing, hey, actually, here's some factual information that I heard on city council. So I love that. And I would say keep doing that because we need more voices of reason and
informed
fact.
Voices, yeah. Voices that are informed.
Right. So thank you. Keep that up. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was just going to say that was one of the things that I really appreciated is that Mr. Farnsworth is coming in with the knowledge of what's already happening in the city instead of having to try and play catch up with the direction the city's trying to head. Mm-hmm. He's already there.
Well, he's probably also very familiar of the back and forth of coming to a decision. He's been listening to all these meetings, which will be
so you know, it can be tough.
Some of those meetings are long.
Some of them are hard. Yeah. It's not an easy job, but it's important.
Have you been listening to the planning commission?
Yes.
As well?
Yes.
We definitely need to get you on the planning.
That is a special kind of.
You don't have enough outside
people
interest.
People do that for fun.
At 2x the speed, and you get to pick and choose which as an actual commissioner, you're in all of the items.
I assure you, it's not 2x speed.
Yeah, I was going to say, in real life,
that's over. And you don't get to pick and choose which items you participate.
It's going to seem like slow motion.
Right.
Yeah.
Make him the chairman.
Can't push the
button. Yeah.
Current chairman's doing a great job. And Hollis did great before that, too.
Yeah. So if nobody has any other questions, Mr. McGuire has brought Mr. Farnsworth as his recommendation. You had multiple people apply, and I think you visited with each of them.
Yes, sir.
And Mr. Farnsworth is his recommendation. And so the way this works is we will chat amongst it ourselves, and you'll hear back from somebody probably tonight. Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks
appreciate
very
it.
Much.
You're welcome.
Item F1, time we're not into that. We're going to talk about legislative required planning items. As we know, year after year, for as long as all of us have served, there's been every year new legislative requirements that land on cities and
So often South Jordan's already on top of it or ahead of where that is. But there are some things that we do have to tweak, or some things that are added to our plates, and some things that we have to, you know, move around. And so we're going to turn to Brian Prason, our long-range planner, Joe Moss, to talk about some of those things. They've been doing some analysis of all of those things and where the city stands as far as our ordinances, right? And if improvements we might need to make or what.
Yeah, very, very well stated. We're here to, it should be reasonably painless. The pain all happened when the legislature, you know, was in session.
I'm not presenting.
We've already been through you guys the pain of it. We do
so
know
you guys already suffered the pain. Now we just have to deal with the consequence. So Joe's got a little presentation on some of the items that we need to kind of tweak our code. And he said, well, some stuff we're in pretty good shape, and there might be a little tweak here and there. So.
Thankfully, Joe, the state kind of followed our code for some of their recommendations because we were
last
already,
couple of years. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of stuff they codify what we're doing. So,
yeah, and you wouldn't take credit for it, but Brian was the cause of that. Like back when I started, Kathy was on the
2005. Yeah,
for a lot of the subdivision stuff that the state's mandating now, we did it before I got here.
So. A lot of the last time that we've had a really major revision that I know of the code was back in 05 when the LUDMA, the Land Use Development Management Act, changed dramatically at the state. I was in this position then and rewrote most of the code. And so that's why it's messed up. So we're out in Joe's time. Joe's here trying to see if we can fix it. So anyway.
Well, thankfully there's not a terrible amount that we really need to do, but there are kind of a number of small things that we just need to adjust in order to make sure we're not just, I mean, I think we're largely in compliant with the majority of these already, but a lot of it is just more technical in nature, trying to just update terminology and some of the procedures to be really consistent with the changes in state legislation. So can
I say, I'm in constant land use meetings. There's one today and stuff. That's why I think in LPC, because they're all like land use LPC. Anyway, they're in groups. And a lot of the complaints by developers are still saying they're not updating and stuff. It's because the terminology is different. So if you look at the essence of what we're asking to do, the cities are pretty compliant. Not all of them, but for the most part. But every time I hear about South Jordan, I'll say, let me check in that. And it's almost always terminology. So kudos to these guys for... Because that's where we get running into most of the fights, if you will.
Even in 2005, they changed it from the zoning ordinance to the land use ordinance, which really made a lot of changes everybody had to make, just that one little tweak. So, yeah. Terminology. So, okay.
Exactly. Yeah. So, we'll kind of go over some of those, these bills that have come into effect and kind of what that means for us. And then we'll touch on some other things for the general plan requirement, as well as a couple of other technical edits we're looking at making to the code. So the first one, we'll kind of dive in here, Senate Bill 181. This one is interesting. So it prohibits us from requiring a garage for single family, but only if it is deemed affordable and also owner occupied. It's a very specific circumstance, but our code currently does require garages for single family. So we just need to update that to come into compliance. It does also specify some maximum parking sizes for both covered or uncovered parking. We can still require on-site, off-street parking for residential, all residential, including affordable owner-occupied structures. Again, this is a very small carve-out, but we just need to adjust our code to allow for it should this circumstance arise, which I think is a pretty specific situation.
So who determines if it's affordable?
They determine it by, it's got to be basically deed restricted for 80% AMI for a minimum of 5 years, and then obviously owner occupied, and then...
So it'll be very clear.
Yeah, they have
which
to...
that applies to.
And the person building could still choose to do parking similar to what we did over in, with the Ivory.
Bancourt,
thank you. But we can't require it.
Yeah. The one thing it would mean is tandem spaces wouldn't be able to be prohibited. So if there's an arrangement where they add maybe two tandem garage spaces, that would still count toward their parking minimum requirement. But beyond that, there's really not a large effect to any of our development code. So
you guys all know what tandem is? It's parking them linear instead of sideways.
Yeah. Thankfully, there's only a couple spots in the code that we really would need to do that. That's primarily in the architectural requirements in our residential zones. There is also a little bit of cleanup in the redwood mixed use zones with some other things like maximum dwelling size that has changed. We've changed in our other residential districts, but the redwood zone has kind of been a little bit neglected. So there's a little more touch up that we need to do there. SB 104, this one is interesting. It is a, this one is basically what Ryan was talking about, the city attorney Luce, with the terminology being very different. For instance, they've changed terms like lot line adjustment is no longer defined in state code. It's now simple boundary adjustment. And so just updating some of these terms to make sure we're consistent. Again, our procedures are largely in line with what they're already requiring. We just need to make sure that we are really clear about what that is and making sure that people understand that we're following that process. So again, this one is very technical and I'm not gonna bore you. It's a little into the weeds, but it's mostly just a language and clarification on procedures.
And you wouldn't believe the fights they had over it. And it's all, not all, a lot of it's because of more rural applications mm-hmm. where these run in. Anyway, there were huge fights. Lots of brain cells left on this floor.
Yeah.
I know. We all know what a lot line is.
Everyone knows what a lot line
is. Yeah. Now people are going to, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to take about 10 years for people to say it right.
And then they'll probably be dead by then.
And they'll switch it 5 times.
Back so go, that was a bad decision. Let's go back to lot.
What's the cost update on that? Don't worry about it.
Thankfully, it's not a tremendous reorganization. The biggest thing might be pulling together some of our procedures, which are kind of buried in little pockets in some of our code. And so trying to bring those together into a little bit more cohesive section that's a little more easy to understand might be the more sizable part of that particular bill. But Senate Bill 179, this one is interesting. We didn't think it necessarily applied to us because it was mostly about business licensing. So what does that have to do with our zoning ordinance? Well, it requires an entire procedure for defining new and unlisted uses. Again, this is something our code kind of referenced, but there's a lot more that they're requiring we spell out in our code as far as the procedure goes. So things like establishing timelines for maximum decision. We get to pick our own timeline, but we have to say what it is. So it also kind of provides for an appeal process for those new and unlisted uses, as well as a way for the planning director to determine if a use is similar enough to match something that's already in our current uses table.
I think this was another one of those that maybe, and Ryan can tell you for sure, maybe the mayor, but it was like one city had something come up and then they ran to their legislator and now we're changing the whole This is all the way I understand it.
Thankfully most of our uses have been consolidated into a single uses chapter. However, there are still some hanging out uses in the redwood mixed use zones as well as the planned community zone. So we either need to reference those new procedures that we've established in the uses chapter in those sections, or maybe more ideally unify them together and kind of make sure we're just bringing everything all into the same spot. I think that part of the uses chapter was never quite finished when it was originally formatted. From a maintenance standpoint, bringing them either all together or splitting them back up into individual districts might be something that might be a little bit more uniform, just so we're doing one or the other and not both.
We're trying to make it more transparent to our residents. So you don't have to start digging into the weeds to figure out, oh, did I miss anything?
HB 368, now if you want to talk about digging into the weeds, this one is thousands of lines long. Thankfully, the majority of it does not really apply to us in this circumstance. However, there are a couple of little things that we do need to tweak with some of our noticing when it comes to zoning. Most, 99% of our zoning cases fall under what they're calling ministerial in nature processes, but in the occasion that, that falls outside of that, there's an additional mailed notice requirement. Not anything super significant that we aren't pretty similarly doing with how we're noticing currently, but again, we just need to spell it out in our code for them.
And their word ministerial would be what I typically call administrative.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't know why they changed that.
Does someone own the ink?
It's all digital. I just...
Yeah. But, you know, it does also give us the opportunity to update some of our terms for the appeal authority and things, because that we're no longer allowed to require public hearings at some of those appeal things, and so having like a hearing officer at something where we're not having a hearing could be a little bit confusing. So again, just kind of lining those terms up, small tweaks, making sure we're as clear as possible in our code. And thankfully, this is an old one now. This is moving more to general plan updates. So SB 110 from 2022 does require that we integrate a water element into our general plan. Our general plan was adopted before this bill and into effect, and so we do need to have it in place by the end of the year. We have been working with the Division of Natural Resources, Water Division, to kind of prep to make sure we have the things they need. The good news is we have excellent water planning. It's a lot of just kind of rounding it all up and putting it into the same place so we can make sure we're in compliance with this. And so that will be coming towards you all in the before the end of the year to make sure we're hitting that deadline, with some other possible updates that may or may not be packaged with it. We're also needing to update a couple of things on the general plans, given that it is, you know, 5 years old. So we want to take a look again at that implementation item and making sure that, hey, what have we done? What are we still working towards? What no longer makes sense in today's context? Kind of update that, as well as looking at our future land use maps, updating those to line up with our newly adopted station area plans, as well as incorporating the newly annexed areas of the city. And then other than that, there's really just a couple of little technical edits we are looking to bring toward you. So there's been some really conversation about monument signs and, you know, just clarifying what it's asking for. Again, we're not trying to change the intent of any of these ordinances, but just clarify what the requirement is, so it's a little more easy for
or
staff.
Or you measure it from and some things like that, but not changing the actual code.
Well, I have a suggestion for something we could change in the actual code for our monument signs.
Me too, I think
that you do.
Perhaps it should have to have the city's name on it as well.
It always have to have the city's name on it.
any monument sign. Just something to consider.
We're happy to look at it.
You mean in the West?
Retroactively, too.
Why don't we throw that in?
We'll talk about it and see what we can do.
My personal favorite is South Jordan and something else.
Leave the South Jordan.
Well, usually it's the second one.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well,
we have it on our list. We will look at it.
Yeah. That's the end of it from us, as far as that. If you have any questions on any of those items, happy to discuss now if you want.
Well, we will be back.
Yeah. So just, you guys know this. There's so much that goes on up there, and then, you know, we all take a deep breath afterwards, those of us up there and stuff. That's when these guys just like fear, because they have to actually do something.
Once we feel
with,
like
what,
we can breathe.
With the mess we made, like 368. Some of us lived in that for 6 months and a lot of battles and stuff. And so, like, kudos to our planning guys who have to, like, then take that mess we handed them and make good on it. And we're hardly ever called out because our guys are so good they get it done.
So. I'm really excited because we have a great team in our planning department. Brian is no stranger to having to make these kinds of code changes. Joe's technical expertise is fantastic in reading these out. I started meeting with them several weeks ago in anticipation of what the changes were. I wanted to be able to share some of that because some of these things, as Joe mentioned, are due by the end of the year. And so in some of your upcoming council packets, you will see these new drafts and these changes. And I wanted to kind of give you the overview so you kind of know what to expect from this team as they make these tweaks and rewrite these, knowing that we don't really have a choice on some of these. We have to do it. I have high confidence that they will make all the needed changes. And so as you see them come into your packet, if you have any questions at all, please reach out to Brian or Joe and ask, was this the one that we had to do? And as you're looking at those, if it triggers thoughts in your minds of other things you want to consider or talk about while we're doing that, this would be a good time to kind of catch those. Or if you're aware of something that you thought, if we could just get that right, this is the team to get it done.
And if you have even the things that we have to do, if you say, oh, why are we doing it exactly this way? Is, you know, we'd be happy to hear maybe there's a better way to do it than we can think of. As long as we meet the intent of the state code, doesn't matter how.
I do have a question. The bill that was run by Wilcox and McKell that in 2022 that we have to have the water in our general plan, water plan in our general plan by the end of this year. We have water plans. We'll be incorporating that. Talked about updating Redwood Road. I don't think we've really addressed Redwood Road deeply except for a couple of specific projects since like 2008. You know, it's been like the first year we were here. But so I get that. But as you were talking about general plan, those are going to be incorporated, but not an overhaul of the whole general plan before the end of the year. When you said, you know, it's been 5 years, we got to update that whenever. I was like, not before the end of the year, right? We're not trying to take that on.
That's a 6 to 9 month
process. I know, which is why I'm like, tell me we're not. Like, so we're just going to add these things in, and then we'll start.
I believe that's one of the things that Dustin wants to talk about. Whether we want to fund that for the next fiscal year.
Yeah, that'll be one of the things we talk about in our strategic planning is the time come and do we want to, how much do we want to do internally? How much do we want to hire consultants? How much do we want to budget? What do we want to accomplish with that so that we can work that into next year's budget request?
There, as you mentioned, there are some updates that need to take place in that too, but I'm relieved to hear that it's not all going to try to be done by the end of this year.
This is just getting that one.
I only brought up the implementation component because there may be some things from the new water component that we want to roll into the implementation tables and things to make sure that we're including them there as part of that state requirement. But it could also be an opportunity for us to say, okay, we did that, so we're taking that off the list or something, like, you know, to that effect.
Definitely not a big.
I'm just curious. You mentioned a few things that have to be done by the end of 2025. What body within our state supervises or oversees that? Like, if we didn't get it in compliance by December of 2025, what would be the consequence? I'm just curious.
And it depends on the ordinance, right? I mean, it, sometimes they could with some of them they can withhold like our Class C road funds monies from us. Okay. They're usually more punitive that way than any of you are going to jail because you didn't do it.
I'm not worried about that, but I just was curious. As long as you worry for us.
I'm the one that's ultimately responsible.
Okay. I'll keep you out of jail, don't worry.
So everybody abides by these timelines because they want to get funds.
Well, and it depends on which ones. And so, like, one of the things is just peer pressure and embarrassment and threats of lawsuit. So some cities are still adopting the subdivision changes, and their city councils still see subdivisions. And as developers run into those cities, they say, no, that's illegal. We're not going to do it. And so they have fights about whether they have, well, it's our law. Well, state law says you can. And it depends, trying to remember what it is with station area plans, but if you don't get it done, you're basically not eligible for some of the funding, I think, through WFRC. Okay. So that would be punitive that way. And
sometimes they're just paper tigers and they don't have a penalty, but like Ryan said, you could be sued.
You don't want to be that city.
They tend not to sue as much as you as the pinata.
And the reason that they run additional legislation that's more punitive part.
Now we can put that on its head in the sense that I think as you talk to your legislators and as we tell them that we're meeting their stuff, going to what Jason says, how much does all this cost to get what effect? And if we're just changing terminology and stuff, you know, there are real costs, and we call them unfunded mandates. And so we encourage them always be thoughtful when we make changes. Think about what you're costing downstream, because they won't necessarily put a fiscal note for all the time and expense we do, but it all costs, energy, time, money.
Right.
And do we really need some of these changes, especially when they make changes back to back to back and don't let time for the first change from 3 years ago actually start to push through. I mean, we're seeing now HTRZs really come to effect, and that was like 2001, 2003 they did that. But now you're starting to see them have an impact on housing and stuff. Station area plans, these things have 3 to 5 years before you start to see the front end of them. And so I think if we can encourage them, you know, if we slow down and see things take place. ADUs, for example, they're always pushing them. You're just barely seeing that change the market at all, which they said will change. Okay, then let's measure it and see what the next step is rather than just knee-jerk.
Well, they still want to make changes to it.
I know.
They're all over that.
Sorry, Kat.
And do we keep track of the amount of hours it takes to make all these changes? Have you ever thought of...
I don't know if you guys have.
Depends on the project.
For the last... For the last 6 months, everything we paid this young man.
Other than a few other projects, but yeah.
Probably. For the most part.
I think it's also important to point out the importance of how involved the city has been. Having the mayor up there during the legislative session, having the city attorney on a lot of these committees as we reviewed this, having you guys involved in the LPC meetings where a lot of this is debated.
On the Commission on Housing Authority.
Now, where are we drawing hard lines and pushing back? The fact that South Jordan has had good code already. A lot of times we're held up as an example. Our code is used as the standard already. But that's a real kudos to you guys for your involvement, taking the time to be educated when they're discussing these bills and really vetting it out so that we can say, no, this is... what's going to happen if we do that? Or, yeah, we can do this, but it'll do this. So stay involved.
It gives the mayor, especially me and you, when you talk with legislators, credibility.
Yes.
They can't just blow us off and say, well, you don't understand. They know we're everywhere. They know we're educated. And they have a really hard time. Sometimes they still blow us off, but they don't say you don't understand. And other times they listen really attentively and work.
South Jordan gets invited to the table for these discussions. The mayor, Ryan, they spend a lot of time in these other meetings, the committee meetings. So that's a good thing for the city to be a part of that.
So this year I'm probably spending 3 to 5 hours a week in meetings on legislative items. And Councilmember Shelton, with his role on the Commission on Housing Affordability, that drops down to some other subgroups. And you're probably spending a couple hours every week in a meeting.
It's huge to have them on that.
Varies week to week, but
yeah,
it's so huge. There's only two municipal representatives on the Commission on Housing Affordability, and Don's one of them.
That's awesome for this.
It was a big opportunity for us. Yeah,
huge.
There you go, Shelton.
And we're still grateful that you were willing to do it. Thank you. It's good. Yeah.
We're in a good place. Just wanted you guys to kind of see the roadmap for the next few months of things we'll be working on.
We are, and we got our station area plans all done on our end in time, and so they'll go to Regional Growth Committee in a week, and then they'll recommend them to the full Wasatch Front Regional Council at our meeting later this month. And we'll get those approved, and South Jordan will be checked on all of our station area plans. That's a good place to be.
It's huge.
Yeah. So. Hey, thank you. Thanks so much. Really appreciate that.
Did you want to do staff comments?
I would like to. Yeah, if we can, then that would probably help get us out to the night out against crime. So instead of doing staff reports and calendaring items in the next meeting, we'll just have that discussion really quickly.
One thing, Director Clavino wanted to give an update on 9800 South Bangor and Granville Avenue. So.
9800 South, the main line is pretty much all concreted now. I was over there Saturday up on the bridge, and they just have some little strips on the outside to do. They still have to do the median barrier in the middle. Their plan, at least a week and a half ago when I met with them, was to move the Bangor traffic back to the main line under the bridge starting, I think, the 21st of August.
Wow.
Took a few days to switch it over. And then they can start, the bridge is done, the deck. Then they can start tying in to the sides. They have to get that traffic off there to do that. And As far as I know, they're still in line to have it all done and open by October 18th. There may be some landscaping and stuff after that, but as far as the roadway work, it'll be done. The traffic signal that we have at the entrance of Elk Ridge has been functional except for the pedestrian buttons, and they're supposed to have that done by the end of this week. I know I was by the other day, they got the buttons in now, and they're working on programming and wiring. But we are going to make a tweak to it afterwards. We met with the school district. They're concerned if you just have a permissive left turn, that people will be trying to shoot that gap when there's kids crossing. So we're going to, I didn't want UDOT to do it. I wanted them to just get done. And then we're going to have the county who maintains their signal modify two directions, the northbound and the westbound, so that if somebody pushes a PED button, it'll have protective permissive, so it'll be protected and they won't be able to turn during that movement. We talked to the principal. He's concerned about that. We had to make that modification out where the Smith's Marketplace is on 114th or 118th Daybreak Parkway out there. Some pedestrian got hit because people sometimes in the yield aren't watching for those. So anyhow, so we're working on that. Hopefully that'll get done by the time school opens and I'll make it better for the crossing guards there and stuff. So it's looking pretty good to be done on time. I don't know if you noticed, they did switch the mainline traffic on 134 last weekend. I drove that. That was pretty nice.
It's awesome.
You can get home now.
Yeah, so
you don't have to get backed up to 126th.
So what did they change on 134?
So you're the mainline traffic stays on the mainline and goes under the new bridge.
They
so it's not using the ramps anymore.
Right. What's the one the north of 98th that they're doing at the same time?
47th.
That's been that way for a little while.
Yeah, and they've actually opened the east-west traffic there too now. So yeah. That one was done in a separate contract, and it was done a little earlier than the three down here. So.
But pretty soon, Bangerker's going to move traffic.
Pretty soon, yeah. Yes. Pretty soon, Bangerker's
going to move. From 35th on, you're going to move.
Oh, yeah. Now 41st South. So we're going to back up.
Yeah, 41st, yeah. Last night was just amazing.
I'm so glad you get to share that.
The other item is...
Could you talk about the lights that will be at that interchange? So is there a light at the interchange and then a light at the junior high, like half
yeah,
a block
so the away. Off ramps will have a signal so that you can either go straight or make a left. You could make a right on a red too, but
sure.
Yeah, and then the signal to the entrance to the middle school is a little bit close. But overall, everybody felt that it would be better, especially for the kids crossing. Right now, it's over the years, it's been crossing near the seminary building there, and it just no control there. Now the kids will walk up to the signal, build a cross with a signal in the crossing guard, and then go use the elementary, then use the bridge to go over down to the elementary school.
Yeah. So there'll be lights at the off ramps,
right?
But 98th will have a free flow through.
No, 98th.
Well, no, it would have to stop.
Yeah, it'll have a stop at the ramp.
Yeah.
Just like.
Right, but it should be.
So it's like there, and half a block later, we get another light.
Yeah. It's a little close, but they will be synchronized or fiber connected. But anyhow, so they did the traffic modeling. We talked about it. It seemed to work fine, the modeling, so we'll see how good. But every school is a mess a little bit. It's like a sporting event twice a day for 8 months a year.
For an hour.
For 45 minutes.
Oh,
so
that's so
my whole career at schools have always been an issue. I don't know the answer to it necessarily, other than you have a traffic problem for 45 minutes. So
just to
avoid them.
What's avoid them? The other thing I want to talk about is Granville Avenue. I know Councilmember McGuire asked about it a while ago, and we do now have it done up to Bingham Room Road. All the signals are operational. It functions both ways. It's closed just on the north side of Bingham Room Road.
Wait, Granville?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Granville is over by
the ball,
tracks.
Yeah.
The ballpark, the tracks.
Bingham Room is clear out west.
Yeah, out north.
North, Bingham Room.
It's 102nd south. Eventually it will go up,
so
cross Mountain
So what's the road
Mountain
out Ewing. On the far west side? It's called Bingham
Room. That's Bingham Room. So the way it's being designed, it comes along the Bingham Canyon or whatever creek, okay. And then it swings and then ties into 118
okay.
South.
Connected out there. Yeah. Okay.
But that part's been built over there, and this part's been built. Now we're building more parts. But
so it's connecting from the north over to the west.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay. So where Bingham Rim hits Granville is where you say it's connecting? Sorry.
That's where it's done right now, Granville Avenue okay. is done. Basically to the Bingham Creek, where okay. you know Bingham Creek drops off.
Mm-hmm.
And then to connect it, the next, or to open it all the way to Old Bingham, we have to finish the signal at 102nd South, which is right on the city border with us in West Jordan. We had some issues with Jordan Valley and Rocky Mountain Power. So,
West Jordan
to some extent.
They started playing tracks. West Jordan was a good neighbor.
No, not very many people.
But anyways, we worked those out. They're installing the signal now. We hope by the end of the month that will be done and we can open it all the way to Old Bingham. It is a little bit of act of Congress to get Rocky Mountain, or not Rocky, UTA to authorize these signals to open. I mean, every one of them has been difficult. So I can't guarantee exactly when that will be commissioned and ready to go, but hopefully by the end of the month. And then we'll have a bill, have a whole nother connectivity out to Old Bingham Highway. So
people will stop driving to the park.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Semis didn't use the park to
okay.
as their cover.
Yeah, we
it's interesting to watch
more
go through that roundabout. Or over it. Will we make it?
Anyhow, that's the two updates I just wanted to give you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. Did you have anything else in staff reports?
No, I.
Janelle Moore.
Anybody else that has it?
Okay. I didn't have
it. Or calendaring items. We have the ribbon cutting for hires on Friday.
Yes.
At
3:30. My calendar says.
As I say, I had Mel updated.
Yeah, there was an update. It was on my calendar for 2:30, but I think it might be 3 now.
It got bumped to half hour.
We got the official word from them today, and Mel updated that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Is anybody not going to be at the hires ribbon cutting? Do we know?
I think I saw Patrick decline the invitation.
Not going to be there. Okay.
Which, sorry,
what
Mayor.
Was the will be there. So that's
Friday.
Friday. Friday. That's right. This Friday.
This Friday. I'm going to try and be there.
Okay. What time again?
3. The hires ribbon cutting.
Yeah, I saw
yeah,
the email.
Just
I just didn't respond.
Okay. That'll be good. That'll be exciting. And thanks. Thanks to you guys who made it to Moana's opening.
Yeah, that was
thank
good.
You.
That was good.
Yeah.
And thanks to your staff, Janelle, for the talking points. But I have to say, I was looking right into the sun without
my sight.
Rachel.
It was Rachel. It was Rachel.
It was Rachel.
Melinda's
she's
team. Not here.
Melinda's team.
Melinda's
Rachel's
team.
Melinda's team.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the teams wrong. Sorry. Melinda, thank you to Rachel and her team. The talking points were great, but I couldn't read them.
The sun was bright.
And I had and Rachel told me you have to take your sunglasses off. And Robin made it happen.
Yeah.
Get old Robin to the rescue.
She taps on my shoulder. Get them off.
It's awesome. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Great. Okay, then I am going to ask for a motion to move us into executive closed session to discuss the character and competency of an individual. Can I get a motion to do so?
So moved.
Thank you. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
No,
thank you.
It's not on the agenda.
We amended the agenda at the start of this meeting to add a closed session.
Sorry, before Don gets here.
Yeah. All in favor, please say aye.